I'm Suzy Larson. Thanks for listening to this podcast from Suzy Larson Live. Welcome to Suzy Larson Live. Always honored to get to spend this time with you. In fact, I look forward to bringing you conversations every single day that hopefully inspire you in your faith walk, that deepen your understanding of God's Word, and that heightens your awareness of His very real presence in your life. Today just might be a breakthrough day for you. We're going to talk about breakthrough, and God cares so much about you. He knows everything about you. He knows you better than you know yourself. And I've got an amazing guest to talk about breakthrough, but I got two questions to start off with. And I love it when you engage with me because it helps me know where you're at. I'm just developing a relationship with so many of you as you text in and tell me your story. So here's a twofold question. Are you ready? The first part is, in what area of life have you experienced your biggest breakthrough? In what area of life have you experienced your biggest breakthrough? And second part, where do you need a breakthrough? So where have you seen your biggest breakthrough and where do you need a breakthrough? Text me 877-933-2484. 877-933-2484. Just put that in your speed dial so you can just hit a text on the at the ready. Well, I'm excited about my guest today. Maria Erickson's joined us in the lineup in the past, and now she's going to become one of our monthly guests. Praise God. We're calling it Breakthrough Mondays with Maria. She's powerfully anointed and appointed to bring freedom in Christ. She and her husband, Scott, have an amazing ministry, and they do so with such authority, wisdom, humility, and grace. I just promise you by the end of the show, you're going to feel loved, cared for, inspired to lay hold of all that God has for you. We are fully expectant that God's going to move in our midst. And you know what? Hope matters. Hope needs to make a comeback. And that's why the enemy's constantly trying to steal our hope, because we're dangerous when we start to hope in the middle of our circumstances. Now we're not hoping in an outcome, we're hoping in the one who brings the breakthrough. I mean, we start to get traction even when we feel stuck. So a quick announcement before we hear from Maria. We are going to be doing an online study of my new book, Strong in Battle, Why the Humble Will Prevail. The study starts in September, but registration will close in August. So now is when you want to sign up. It's free and you don't even need the book to participate. We just want to help equip you to stand in battle. I don't know if you've noticed, but in the fall is when spiritual opposition often picks up, and we want you ready. And that's why we've strategically positioned the study to go September into the first half of October. So after the show, go to myfaithradio.com, sign up for free. You'll get email content. There's a number of other things that we're going to offer you. So I'm super excited about that. Myfaithradio.com. All right, let me tell you about my guest. We'll get her on the show. Maria Erickson has been making disciples that make disciples since 2003 when she founded Last Day's Disciples with her husband, Scott, with a commitment to fulfill the Great Commission through the power of the Holy Spirit. Last Day's Disciples has provided biblical discipleship training through teaching, preaching, dramatic presentations, mission trips, counseling, deliverance, and prayer ministry. Together, Scott and Maria have written manuals on discipleship and deliverance, and they host their own weekly discipleship radio show. They live in Minnesota with their three amazing sons, and I love that I get to have her in studio. Maria, welcome back.
Thank you so much. I'm excited to be here.
I'm excited too. I mean, even just you, everywhere you go, I mean, the times I've had lunch with you, whatever, you feel to me like you're well, I know you are. You're like a walking conduit of the kingdom. You're looking for opportunities to encourage people. You're so tapped into the Holy Spirit that I just feel like you have a word in due season, even when people don't expect it. So I just want to honor the gift of God in you, Maria. Appreciate it so much.
Well, thank you. I see the exact same in you. So it feels like I'm in the company that I think God wants us all to be in, where we're surrounded by people that say what He wants us to say so that we can have what He wants us to have.
Amen.
He has that for all of us.
Amen. Amen. So, you know, this, we start every day making it personal, just in your own time with the Lord. What's He been talking about these days?
Wow. He has been really helping me see that people need support and that we need to be listening to Him of who's our assignment. Because there are people all around us that need stuff, and we often are more focused on our own needs or even the ones like in our family. But if we're paying attention and listening, it's like God's going to highlight people to us because He wants to flow through us. And so it's been really fun lately to see Him increase that awareness in me that He wants to talk to the people around me, and He wants me to be willing to let Him do that. And I don't need to be scared or worried about what to say. I just need to create an encounter of just being loving toward them, like, mm-hmm. hi, who are you? What's your name? And the next thing you know, they're sharing something and you're sharing something. And so I think sometimes we think our personality is what dictates how our life should go, or our past experiences. And really, God wants us to have him be what dictates how life can go. The scripture says, he who has a son has life, but he who does not have the son does not have life. And the moments we feel most alive is when the son is flowing through us.
Amen.
So he's been making me more hungry that's for great. That and to stir more people up to expect that that's how their days can go too.
Yeah. I mean, that what I hear two things is availability and being on mission, you know, where yeah. We make our plans. The Lord determines our steps. So you might have a task list, but you also have an assignment, a God-given assignment. And, yeah. you know, Jesus never looked at interruptions as interruptions. They were part of the assignment. And
right.
if we could really be divinely interruptible
yeah.
so we could be conduits to his kingdom, how cool is
yeah.
that? Wow, that's so amazing. Well, we're going to talk about breakthrough today. And if we could make it personal first, I would love to know, you know, what are some of the biggest breakthroughs in your life?
One of the things I was just reflecting on it earlier today is that I grew up in a family that was wonderful in so many ways, but every family has areas where there's imperfection, areas where we're not exactly the way that we ought to be, but Jesus wants to help us get there. And so in my family growing up, there wasn't a clear understanding of boundaries and where they should go and what I needed to do in terms of boundaries. And so I grew up kind of believing I was everybody's fixer and I had to help everybody. And if there was a problem, it was kind of like we were on a plane and somebody had a heart attack and I had to help, even though I wasn't a medical doctor. I just grew up feeling like if there's an emergency in the room, if there's a need in the room, it's got to be me. Because in growing up, I always felt like I was the one that was supposed to do that. And so my life got to a point in my young adult years where I realized that I thought saying no was a sinful thing to do. And I thought that saying no was even almost like, you know, swearing at somebody. And so my belief system was out of alignment. I didn't understand that all of my assignments needed to come from the Lord instead of from the emergencies around me. And so I got to a really unhealthy place where I was so overworked in every area of my life. I was literally living in the basement of a home that I was renting with other girls, and it had no doors on it. So I was in the basement.
Wow.
And so she could come running down anytime she wanted with whatever problem, whatever need. People were calling me at 2 a.m, 3 a.m. And I always said yes, because I was trained kind of as a child. As I looked around
that's
the room,
what
I,
you do.
That's what I do. I'm mm-hmm. firstborn and nobody else is saying anything. So I'm going to jump in and say something. And I know a lot of Bible verses, so I'm going to lead with that. And the Lord had to really help me understand that everybody isn't my responsibility, but that I need to stay response-able. And this was what brought the breakthrough. It was like, wow, Lord, I need to stay tuned into you so that I'm able to respond when you give me an assignment. But the devil doesn't get to give me assignments, and other people not carrying their own cross or their own whatever. I'm supposed to have you be in charge of my time and my talents. And yeah, my heart should be so big that I love everybody unconditionally and really well. However, where your time and talents go should be led by the Holy Spirit. And so when he gave me that breakthrough of everybody's not your responsibility, Maria, you have to be response able. Tune into me and let me tell you what to do. Because I have plans for these people that won't necessarily include you, but you can trust me. I'm not going to let them fall, but give it to me and let me lead you. And it revolutionized my life because then I didn't have to feel guilty for saying no. I had to just stay led by the Lord because he is not a brutal taskmaster. The Lord does not want to wear you out and run you down. He doesn't want you to be a martyr for your faith in terms of how your schedule looks. You know, if you get killed because some ruling dictator says, deny Jesus or I'm going to shoot you, that's one thing. But feeling like you have to be a suffering servant all the time, the Lord is good and all his ways are good. And he produces good fruit, not burnout and feeling like, because what happens is if you're always doing, you start to resent the people that you're helping because your needs aren't getting met. And so I think a lot of people, maybe even today as you're listening, maybe you're like, whoa, I think I need that. I think I need to kind of regroup and be like, okay, Lord, in my life, all the things I'm doing, what of it do you want me to do? Where do you want to prune anything? Because it's all too easy to blame God when you're doing God things and you're getting burnt out. But what if God didn't ask you to do all those things? Your just sense of Christian duty, your love for people, you know... So yeah, he rescued me from codependence and from not having good boundaries by reminding me I need to fix my eyes on him and listen to him. And that's just one of the major areas where he really radically changed my life, and I'm so grateful. Good.
You know, I've heard people say the need dictates the call, but I don't believe that, because sometimes I think the need before us is a test of our heart. Are you on Jesus' heels? Are you staying on his heels, listening for his voice? Yeah. Because he says, my sheep hear me. They know my voice. And I often say, every time you say yes, you say no. And yeah. my mentor years ago said, Susie, if it's not a capital yes, it's a no. So yeah. if it might be a small yes, you're kind of like, this could be a possibility someday. But if you don't have a roaring yes, God saying, yes, this is the right thing. And now, yes, this is yeah. the right time. That's go. So then don't
good.
Do it.
That's so good. Yeah. A phrase the Lord has given me is that a no is as holy as a yes.
Yes, it is. Yeah.
When
very
it's
good.
His no.
Yeah. That's so good. Wow. Tracy says, so good. How about, you know, this is personal, so you can say pass, even though we're on live radio.
No, that's okay.
But is there an area where you're still waiting for a breakthrough?
That's a really good question. I think I've been rescued a lot from that kind of, because when you love Jesus, like we all do, you want to live his best for your life. And what I've found is that he's been so faithful to give me the right prayer to pray so that I stop feeling desperate and stuck. And so about 2 years ago, he gave me the prayer, God, I want your plan A. Make your plan A happen for my life and for my whole household. We're calling in your plan A. And that delivered me from the anxiety of, well, what if I never do everything I'm supposed to do? And it's like, oh, so that was like the most recent big rescue in my life was that
very
one.
Good.
So I have to think a minute for like, what's the new thing that I feel like I need rescue from?
Well, and maybe God's just getting you to reframe what you're walking through. You know, I mean, that's, and that even, you know, Paul said, I learned to be content in, with much and little, like in every situation to pivot in a way to get the mind of Christ.
That's exactly it. That's exactly it. Because we already have the victory. We already have the freedom. And it's, are we in alignment with believing that and believing the things we need to believe so that we can receive that in the manifestations and practical things? So, yeah, you're absolutely right.
Wow. We're going to pause. When we come back, we're going to maybe talk about, not maybe, we're for sure going to talk about, you know, John 10:10, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I come, Jesus says, that you have life and life abundantly. And the truth will set us free. Another thing Jesus said in a different part of scripture was, I came to destroy, or he came to destroy the works of the devil. So what does that mean when you think of the enemy as a thief and Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil? I think sometimes we get this mindset, we just got to hunker down, bide our time until Jesus returns, but there's victory and flourishing in the now. Even while the nations are in chaos, I say, he's well able to restore your soul while the nations are in chaos. So what might that look like, and why should we have hope? Well, we'll talk about that with Maria Erickson on the other side. Faith Radio podcasts are produced by the listener-supported ministry of Faith Radio. If you're interested in becoming a team member, a donor to this ministry, you can support the podcast anytime and donate at myfaithradio.com. So make me your vessel. Make me an offering. Make me whatever you want me to be. Thanks for tuning in to Susie Larson Live. My friend Maria Erickson joins me today, but she's actually going to join me every month. We're calling it Breakthrough Mondays with Maria. So once a month, we're going to focus on breakthrough. In a little bit, I'm going to ask Maria a question on your behalf, on my behalf. How do we get from where we are to where we need to be? And she'll give some practical steps in that regard. But I want to just talk about Jesus' intent for us, because sometimes we break the gospel down to just salvation from the penalties of judgment. If that were all it is, that would be amazing to know that our eternity is secure, and that is powerful. But there's so much in scripture, sozo, shalom, zoe. If you look at those words, they mean wholeness, restoration, well-being. There's so much in the land of the living God wants to do for us. And I would say there's a pretty strong biblical case, if you just follow Jesus around the gospels, of how he addressed the human condition. So speak, if you would, to what it means when Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil, and he actually wants us to have an abundant life.
Oh my goodness. I say that every day to people, that he came to destroy, and even one rendering says undo the works of the enemy. He came to undo the works of the enemy. And so I pray that often. I pray it over my kids, over my job, over situations. Lord, I speak a divine undoing of everything the devil's done. Jesus, you came to undo all the works of the enemy. So the works of the enemy bring fear and lies and bondage. And the Lord wants to bring truth and peace and victory. Mm. And so any area where there's fear, any area where there is deception, any area where there's bondage, Jesus on the cross actually already undid that. Mm. But what we need to do is get discipled into thinking right and believing right, because you will have what you say you will have, and out of the abundance of your heart you speak. And so part of it is that the Lord wants to, I mean, when he died, he made it possible for us to have the Holy Spirit in us, and the Holy Spirit will lead us into all truth. He will be our counselor that's always available and never charges money for it, right? I mean, he's our constant counselor, and he always has all the answers. And so Jesus came to undo the works of the enemy. The enemy separated us from God. The enemy took the glory of God off of Adam and Eve and put them in shame and guilt and hiding. And what Jesus did on the Mount of Transfiguration, when you look at the verse, be transformed by the renewing of your mind, the word for transformed by the renewing of your mind is the same word that's used on the Transfiguration on the mountain.
Wow.
When your mind gets renewed to the word of God, you can glow like Jesus did. And in you, there can be no darkness at all. Mm. Right? And so Jesus came to undo the darkness, undo the separation, undo the deception. And he did all of that on the cross. And our joy is to get to enter into that, to be a partaker of the divine nature that we already have when we got born again, and to come into the fullness of what Jesus died on the cross to give us by letting Holy Spirit lead us into all truth. And we just keep saying, yes, yes, I agree, I agree, I agree. And so the Lord is with us to help us know the truth, not just, and we talked about this last time we were together, not just in our head, but to believe it down in our heart. And so Jesus came to undo any way the devil could keep you bound. But there are some practical things that he's shown us in his word that are important for us to do, right? Because we need to hear, believe, and do the word of God. The parable of the sower and the seed, it says at the end of that parable, Jesus says to his disciples, if you don't understand this one, you're not going to understand anything, is sort of what he says. And so it's this idea that the seed of the word of God needs to get into our lives, into our hearts, and we need to get the thorns and the rocks and the other stuff out of there. And we need to agree with God so that what he wants his word to produce in our life, it gets to happen. So Jesus did everything necessary to undo what the devil has done to try to rob you. And now as believers, we get to disciple each other and love each other and encourage each other to enter into what did he die for? What do we get to have instead? And so I think that's part of what we're going to get to talk about today.
So good. You know, scripture talks about that the devil could find nothing in Jesus or nothing on Jesus. So he, you know, came back for a more opportune time. There was no opening. And yet we give openings at times and we don't even realize it. You know, one of the things you talked about last time you were on and when you were doing some ministry with me is establishing a pattern of theft. That has just never left me. And you think about when you believe certain lies, and it's almost like you have this healthy grass and then, you know, the enemy comes and mows it over and flattens it down, and then he flattens it again, and you don't realize he's just trespassing. So then he paves it with tar, and he puts, you know, a stripe down the middle or whatever, and he's claiming this territory, and suddenly he has an inroad in your life. He can drive in, he can back out, and we don't even know we're being, you know, robbed, basically. Yeah. So how does a person discern if there are inroads like that where that they need to start shutting down and even saying differently, praying differently, thinking differently?
Yeah, I think it's, you're going to find that wherever you're unhappy, there's something the devil's up to, right?
Wow.
Wherever there's bad fruit, there's a bad root.
Mm.
And you talked about the grass, you've got your yard, the devil's in there planting dandelions. And, you know, and so what I encourage people to do is start out with, what's the fruit in your life that you wish was different? Do you struggle with fear? Do you struggle with, you know, hating your body? Do you struggle with feeling inferior? You know, you don't ask them those questions. You just say, what happens in your life that you don't like? Because chances are the Lord doesn't like it either, and he didn't die on the cross for you to be stuck with that. That's something the enemy's up to. And so you start by identifying what's the fruit. Jesus, when he was walking with his disciples past a certain place, he saw a fig tree, and it had all these leaves as though it was going to have fruit, and then it didn't have fruit. And it wasn't even the season for it to have leaves. And so it was like false advertising. It was presenting itself as something that it wasn't. And the devil does that all the time. Tries to get us to think this is going to be great. And then it's not. And then he's got you and the fruit is bad and you feel barren. And it's like, wait, so where things are not flourishing in your life, you say, Holy Spirit, what's at the root of this? How did this get started? And the Holy Spirit is faithful. He knows everything. And so he can help you remember a memory. He can help you, like, I have this happen even on a weekly basis where all of a sudden I will start feeling gloomy and I'm like, Holy Spirit, why am I feeling that way? And he'll remind me of a conversation that happened earlier that day where I felt not good enough or upset at myself for not doing a certain something.
Hmm.
And so I kind of, right?
Yep,
and so it's
absolutely.
Like I came under some shade, like
yeah,
instead
yeah.
of the sunlight of his love and his unconditional favor. It's like, oh, right? And so then what I need to do to get rid of that yucky feeling is go, Lord, wherever I've been tempted to turn against myself or feel bad about the future, God, I give it to you. Help me do better in this area so I don't have to feel condemned. I just get better. And so in some cases, it's a temporary, momentary thing where a circumstance is just making you feel not good enough, not measuring up. You're beating yourself up because you didn't do this or that or didn't take that opportunity. Give that to the Lord and let him do cleanup on aisle three.
Like,
Lord, just clean this up for me. I don't want to have this mess. I don't want to step in it. I don't want to keep talking about it. Just help me. And so the Lord can quickly change your attitude and be like, okay, Lord, help me not miss it next time. God, help me be ready. Help me, right? And you partner with the Lord so you can have a better next time. Those are the kind of surfacey things. The deeper things are more abiding, and there's a deeper theft, and sometimes it takes more to find out where did that start. We had a gal come just the other day for ministry, and she said, lately I've been experiencing loss of time. I feel like I maybe have like different personalities inside of me, and I think something really bad happened to me when I was a child, but I don't want to remember it, but I need help. And my husband doesn't know how to help me because he can't tell the difference between a personality and a demon. And I think I have both. Help.
Wow.
Right. And so for some people, it's a lot deeper. And so with this precious one, we sat with her and we prayed. And Jesus is faithful to every single person because he died on the cross. He already won it. We don't bring him a problem that is hard for him ever. And so what he did is he helped her to feel safe because he's there. And he helped her to let us pray. And as we prayed, actually, a part of her manifested that was four. And she looked scared to be in the room. She didn't recognize anybody there.
Wow.
And I said, hi, honey, who are you? What's your name? And she goes, it's not safe. It's not safe. It's not safe. And I said, it's okay. Do you remember asking God to help you? Because when we talked to her at the beginning of ministry, she said she had always asked God to help her. And the little girl, I mean, she looked totally like a little girl, but she was a 30-something woman. But all of her demeanor, all of her everything. And she nodded, yeah, that she remembered asking God. And I said, God heard you, sweetheart, and he sent us.
Mm.
We're here to help. It's going to be okay. And so what happened is we spent a lot of time. We had to talk to each different part of her that presented itself, that just kind of popped up in prayer. The Holy Spirit was helping this happen because she was ready. She had been made ready. And I don't know if a lot of people know this, and your show probably talks about everything under the sun, so they probably know this, but the Lord is so amazing in how he created us that our mind, when we're a child, it is designed so that if the tension gets too strong and it's just too much going on, we are able to kind of fracture and partition off so that part of us remembers what we're going through, but the larger part of us doesn't have to. And so this is what had happened for her. And so I spoke with a 4-year-old her, a 6-year-old her, a 7-year-old her, a 9-year-old her. And with each one, she was scared when she appeared in the room. She needed to be reassured that God loved her. I was able to help each part of her get saved because she's so scared. She's like, I can't say anything. So I'll say more when we get back.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. I'm sitting on the edge of my seat. Wow. Wow. Like you said, though, there's not a problem that's too difficult for Jesus. And I love that, you know, he sent you, he made you available to walk her through. I can't wait to hear how this story turns out. We're talking about breakthrough today. We're going to hear breakthrough stories and practical steps for your own biggest breakthrough. We'll be back in a minute. Thanks for tuning in to Suzy Larson Live. I'm so excited to have my friend Maria Erickson on every month now on Mondays. Once a month on Mondays, we're calling it Breakthrough Mondays with Maria. So that will be our topic. And our hope and our prayer is that you move and break through to the next place that God has for you. There's times where the enemy puts obstacles in our way. Other times we get in our own way. There's other times we have mindsets that are just keeping us stuck and we don't even realize it. So we're just kind of taking this a layer at a time. And if you've got questions, you can text them in 877-933 2484. But before the break, Maria, you were talking about, and I'm asking for a few breakthrough stories because I just think one testimony often begets another testimony. And on the show, we've talked mental health issues before. And so I don't want anything to be off bounds because there, you know, there are people that have had, you know, they have trauma in their childhood and they get fractured or, you know, multiple personality. And so you're ministering with this gal who has some fracture, but she also wonders about some demonic oppression.
Yeah.
And you really created this safe space for her. So maybe take the story from there.
Sure. Yeah. So with each age that manifested of her, where she just became present, and the one that I was talking to, we had to overcome the fear by reassuring her that God had sent us, that he heard your cry and he's helping you. We had to help her feel safe that the perpetrators weren't going to come back at her. And then I had to quickly lead her to Jesus because that's where she was going to find peace and be able to be led out of the darkness. And so I'd ask her, have you met Jesus? And she shook her head no. And I said, Jesus is amazing. God sent him and he's God's son and he loves you so perfectly and he knows how to rescue you from absolutely everything. And he's like the best superhero ever, right? Because I'm talking to a 4-year-old, 6-year-old, 7-year-old, these different ages. And so with each time, she quickly was like, yeah, I want Jesus. And so I led her in a prayer to accept Jesus. And then after I did that, I said, now Jesus wants to help you with this that's happened. Oh, no, not safe, not safe. And we said, well, that's not true, sweetheart, because Jesus keeps you and makes you safe. And whatever you tell him, he can take care of because he's bigger than every bad guy. He's bigger than everything and he loves you so, so much. And so she would begin to trust that, okay, if he's like you describe, then I can give him the bad guys. I don't have to try to protect myself or the other parts of me. Jesus can do that, right? And so then we got her to say the names because the adult her didn't even know the names of the people that had done this, but the little girl parts of her did.
Wow.
And so we got the little girl parts of her each time to feel safe enough to say who the three different people were. And it was really precious because at different ages, there were different positions of her heart toward those people. And in the earlier stages, it was, you know, she didn't want them to get in trouble. And then it got to a place where she was like, because I would then reassure that version of her, well, Jesus won't hurt anybody because Jesus heals and fixes people. So Jesus will just fix them. He doesn't have to make it where he hurts them, you know, because she cared about the people. And Jesus does too. He cares about the people that are in the worst of the worst situations. And so I wasn't lying to her. It's true. Jesus wants to change them and heal them and save them. But then there came a point where a certain age of her wasn't interested in having Jesus fix them. She just wanted Jesus to take him away. But in each case, then we also, with the different ages that popped up, helped her to forgive and let go. Because what we were doing is we were trying to get rid of any roots that the devil would have a legal right to keep a demon in her life. Because she, literally a week before coming to us, had been on the phone with her husband, climbing up a ladder. And there was some clothing item of her husband's that was there, and the demon was going to get her to hang herself. Wow. And he was on the phone, and he discerned that this was happening. She said enough for him to know, and he was able to talk her down. And then he knew, I need to bring her somewhere to get help. And so there were demons of murder and suicide that were there. We needed to get their legal rights out of there. We needed to untangle. We needed to participate with Jesus in undoing the works of the enemy. And so what happened is that the demonic realm obviously catches on as you start to do things. And so whichever part of her I was dealing with, after a while, I got like through two different age groups, and then I got to the third one, and the demonic was getting her to kind of like fall out of that presence and into another presence. It's like she kind of like fell asleep and then woke up again before I could do the forgiveness part. He was like trying to get me to stop the different parts of her from forgiving. Seriously, like you could see that's what he was trying to stop. And then she... her head went down and her head came up again. And I asked her, you know, how are you? And what's your name? And all of those same questions. It was basically on repeat. And she said she was 4. And I said, well, do you remember me? Because I had met the 4-year-old. I led the 4-year-old to Jesus. I had helped the 4-year-old give the bad guys to Jesus. Like the 4-year-old and I had a history up now. And that version of her said, no. And I looked at my husband and I said, okay, your turn. Because he was going to get the demon to manifest now. And so he said some things. And so suddenly that sweet little face of a 4-year-old was now a really gnarling, angry face on this beautiful girl. And it was a demon and it was mad and it did not want us to get her free. And so Scott was trying to get it to cooperate. And there's certain tools you learn in deliverance ministry that help. And he got some distance, but then that demon was just going to kind of camp out and not help anymore. And the Holy Spirit rose up in me and I said, you know what? We don't need you. We've got everything we need in Jesus. And so then I just started praying, and I started praying for the different roots and the things that the different parts of her had already given me. Cause Jesus makes sure you always have enough. The fish and loaves of that little boy, the little bit of faith you have left, the little bit of whatever it is that you've got to work with, he makes sure that he always turns it into enough. And so I had what I needed. And so we prayed different things. The Holy Spirit just prayed through everybody in the room. And the next thing you know, somebody's handing her a garbage can and she's holding it and she's like expelling whatever she doesn't even know she's dealing, you know, and she's getting rid of whatever this was that wasn't of Jesus and didn't belong in her life. And she comes up, her face comes up, and she's just glowing and smiling, and she's the real her, and she's just like, I needed that. Oh my goodness, I needed that. Mm. And she's just so happy. And then we said, has anybody ever talked to you about the Holy Spirit and being filled with and baptized with the Holy Spirit? Because you don't want to sweep a house clean and then leave it without a defender. And all of us have received the Holy Spirit when we ask Jesus to be our Savior. But the question is, do you feel like, or do you sense that you've had what Jesus talks about is the baptism of the Holy Spirit? And if you don't think you have, then just ask for it, because he's no respecter of denominations. He's a respecter of his kids. And it doesn't matter what denomination or what country you came from. If it's in the Bible, it's for you, right? And so we just taught them the simple things that the Bible says and said, do you want it? And she said, yes, yes, right? She wanted to be filled with everything that is the Father God, everything that is Jesus, and everything that's Holy Spirit. Like, why hold out on any of the Trinity? Just give me it all. And so she got gloriously filled with the Holy Spirit. She actually did start speaking in a heavenly language, and she was so full of joy. It was like, okay, now she's realigned. Now, you know, she's at a place where she knows the supernatural is real, and she's got the supernatural things that the Bible talks about that are the Holy Spirit, not the demons. And it was absolutely just from darkness to light.
Wow. We need ministry partners like you, because there are plenty of people. And, it, you know, it was very evident in scripture, and it's evident in, especially you see it in third world countries. I remember when we were on a mission trip in Belize, and the dogs weren't considered pets in Belize. They're just wild, but they would respond to the demonic activity. And, yeah, when the drums started beating, when there was just different cultish practices, the dogs would start to go crazy. And it's like, when you travel to these places where, you know, cultish behavior is practiced in the open, you know that you have a foe. You know that, yeah, the enemy is real. And I think we've sanitized it so much, it's not uncomfortable. It's not comfortable conversation, but it, yeah, is real.
And, it is real.
Yeah.
And the thing that makes it comfortable is you stay focused on Jesus.
That's right.
You know,
yeah,
because if you stay focused on Jesus and what does the Bible say, then it doesn't have to be scary to deal with it. You just get to see the victory happen. And I think that's what Christianity in America needs, is that we don't be afraid, and we don't relegate it to this group of Christians or that group of Christians, but we just go, if it's in my Bible, it's true. Lord, teach me. Holy Spirit, show me. Mm. Help me have the friends I need to have so that I get where you want me to get and I have what you want me to have. And we're all here for each other. We're all the body.
Yeah. You know, in my book, Strong in Battle, I wrote a chapter on discernment, and it was a tricky chapter, but it felt important to me because I think sometimes we confuse discernment with preference or bias, you know, where, yeah, you know, you hear sometimes people say, well, I'm not comfortable with that, so that's not God. Well, it might just be you're not comfortable with it. You know what I'm saying? Where,
yeah,
maybe you have a cultural preference or experience that you go, I'm only staying within this box. But that's what, yeah, got the Pharisees into trouble. And that's what, yeah, sort of fossilizes your perspective, where you're, yeah, stuck in this kind of mindset. But if we really want an outpouring of the Holy Spirit, if we really want a revival to come, we do need to buckle up, because God's, yeah, going to move in ways we've not seen him move. And he's going to use people that maybe offend our sensibilities. But it's,
yeah,
like, I want it all. God, whatever, yeah, you want to do. And sometimes that is a little messy and out of our comfort zone.
Yeah.
But if we want him,
yeah,
to move, he, yeah, will move.
He, you know, will move. And as long as you fix your eyes on him and you stay scriptural and you stay practicing his presence, he's more powerful than any demon. I mean, I've had demons look at me through people's eyes and I'm going to kill you and I hate you. And I just look at them with the love of Jesus, because I love this person that the devil is using at this moment. And I just say, no, you're not going to do that, because Jesus is my protector and you can't do anything against him. And this person is free today. So you stop. You know, and so the enemy, he wants to scare you. He wants you to not focus on Jesus to get past him. And demons are not, they're not powerful compared to Jesus. But if they can make us afraid, or if they can get us to ignore their presence in our lives, then they get to do what they want to do with that part of our yard.
So you're saying if we either overreact or underreact,
yeah.
If we dismiss them or we glorify them, where we're more focused on demonic activity than we are the victory of Jesus. Well, one thing that comes across from you all the time, Maria, is this, what's the word I want to look at, but this confidence in God's love. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's, I mean, you have a joyful confidence in God's love. For the person listening today who feels, you know, terrified at the idea of spiritual activity, and especially again, as we head into fall, you know, that there's different reasons for that, right?
Yeah,
but you do feel the upgrade or the amped upness of spiritual opposition. What do you say to the person who's living sort of in reaction to fears more than in response to God's love? How can they, how can God's love seem and feel more tangible to them?
Yeah, I think, first of all, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me. So sing that often to yourself, because that's that it's the true anthem of the kingdom, that he loves us. Billy Graham was interviewed one time towards the latter days of his life, and he was asked, of all the sermons you've preached in all the countries you've gone and all the crusades, what's your favorite sermon? And he started saying the lyrics to Jesus Loves Me. And so that. But the other is to have the Holy Spirit help you replace the lies that try to separate you from the truth that God loves you. For example, if things happen in your life where it was disappointing because nobody protected you, or somebody died and you were praying that they wouldn't die, you need to remember that the enemy is the enemy and God is always on your side. He always loves you. He wants a breakthrough. He wants a victory. Now, you're going to have to believe it by choice at first, until you get to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. At first, you got to choose to believe it based on scripture. You have to, it's a choice. And then you say, Holy Spirit, lead me into this truth. And so I would suggest that you get ministry in the area where you struggle to believe God and say, Holy Spirit, what's in the way? I know for me, condemnation would attack me all the time and I would feel so condemned. And finally, at age 30 something, I just couldn't take it anymore. I always felt not good enough. No matter what I accomplished, I always felt just this sense of condemnation. And the Holy Spirit, as I sat with my husband and we were praying for answers, the Holy Spirit brought me back to something that happened in kindergarten. And it was just something that wouldn't seem big to us as grownups, but it was big to me as a child. And as the Holy Spirit revealed that thing, I was able to realize that condemnation grabbed onto my life in that moment, and my emotions and the little girl me, if you will, kept believing I was condemned. And when that happening and that lie got brought up into the light and into what I know about scriptures now at the age that I am, it was a laughable lie.
Wow.
It's not true for everybody. Sometimes it's a terrible crime that happened. But what the Lord wants to do is set that crime and that evil right next to his word and have you believe the word instead, so that he can supernaturally break you loose from expecting that what happened to you in the past is your lot. It's not your lot. It's theft. It's harm. It's bad. It's a crime. It's something that the Lord wants completely rooted out of your life. And the problem is that while it still sits there, it taints your belief system for the future. But as you let the Lord root that out and take it and heal you, help you forgive all the people that wronged you, help you to see them through God's eyes, like Jesus on the cross, when he said, Father, forgive them, they don't know what they're doing. What you need to do is get out from being the victim of what you went through to being seated in heavenly places with Jesus, where he's rescued you out of it. You can remember it, but you don't relive it. You know it occurred, but you know the word better than that. And so it is this process of undoing it, but you have to replace those things that have taught you those lies with the healing, forgiveness, and truth that your heart then gets to shift over and believe that instead. And it's absolutely transformative. It transforms you to a place where there's no darkness left. There's just a testimony of victory. And every cell of your body believes the goodness because of how Jesus shows up in that process of overcoming evil with good and turning darkness to light. And it's through conversation and prayer, and really getting the Bible verses that give you the opposite of what you've been experiencing, getting those Bible verses to be believable to every cell of you. And again, through prayer and replacing what happened and forgiving and letting go, and there's things, and we can talk
tending
about
tending the
more.
Soil of your heart, and
yes.
somebody's uprooting the weeds and the boulders and cultivating an atmosphere for growth, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
Let's pause here. When we come back, I want to talk about, you know, sometimes you hear the accusation, and I think it's founded, that Christians in the West are so me-centered and self-focused. And, you know, that's true when you look at Jesus as just a means to an end for your Bless Me Club. But some people take that accusation and say, we don't need to be focusing on ourselves. We have to go reach the lost. But Jesus says, make disciples, right? And how do you tell about the hope within you if there's no hope on you? So I want to make a case for why your breakthrough matters. Your breakthrough matters because when you get free, there's no shutting you up. I mean, then you're going to start to want to say, let me tell you about my Jesus. Let me tell you what he's done. Because you can't dispute somebody's testimony. I was blind, now I see. You know, I was lost, I'm found. I was so captive and bound up, and now I'm free. This is one of the reasons God wants you free, is because he loves you, but he also wants to work mightily through you. So I think I've already made the case. But we'll continue and visit. And we're going to talk about how do you move from where you are now to where you need to be. Maria will offer some tangible steps in just a moment. So here's a question for you. What do you love about Faith Radio? Has a particular show, something you've heard, changed the way you think and the way you pray? We would love to hear from you. Your story can encourage others and will glorify God. And you know what? It encourages us too. So share what you love about Faith Radio by calling toll-free 877-933-2484. Leave a message today. We sure appreciate you.
This is the King. This is the King. This is the kingdom of heaven. Asking you.
Thanks for tuning in to Susie Larson Live, having a very interesting conversation with our friend Maria Erickson. She joins us once a month for Breakthrough Mondays with Maria, and we really delved into some, you know, spiritual warfare, deliverance ministry. That's part of the aspect of Last Days ministry, Last Days Disciples. That's
key, because the disciple word is where it all happens.
Yes, last day, is that the name of your
last
ministry?
Last Days Disciples.
Yes, thank you. Yeah. So before the break, I was saying, you know, sometimes there's the accusation leveled against Christians in the West that we're so self-focused, but and there's a truth to that in that we're a global church, you know,
yeah.
And we are people of community. We cannot heal without community, and people are best saved in the context of community. But I don't know that accusation, in fact, I don't believe it applies when it comes to, if you're broken, even if you live in the West and you know, live in a developed country and you have food in your cupboard, doesn't mean you don't qualify for breakthrough and healing. And I've heard too many Christians, Maria, say, well, I'm not like the person in the third world country, so I don't want to bother God with this. But it's like, God wants you free.
Absolutely.
It's like he has endless supply. So what he does for one doesn't diminish his capacity for another. So make the case for freedom and why it matters for these last days.
Yeah. Well, he's zealous for your freedom. I mean, he went all the way to the cross.
Amen.
And he went all the way to hell. And then he brought his blood up to the mercy seat. He is zealous for your freedom. And so his suffering paid for it. And it's his inheritance to have you gloriously free. He doesn't want you to get less than what he died to give you. So it matters very much to his heart that you get everything he wants you to have. And then he does, like you said, Susie, before the break, he wants you to give it out. Freely you've received, freely give. Mm-hmm. You can give what you have, but you can't give what you don't have. And in Christ, we have all the riches in the heavenly places and all the promises and everything. And so it's crucial. And the enemy wants us to be bound, because when you look at the great commandment, it's to love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength. Your soul is your mind, will, and emotions. Well, if you've got conflict going on there and emotional problems going there, how can you love God with all? Because there's stuff clogged up and
getting in the way of the all.
Right. Mm-hmm. And then it says, love your neighbor as yourself. Well, how can you love your neighbor well if the love of God isn't flowing to you and through you in a way? And so the enemy just wants to put cogs in the wheel and chinks in. I mean, he just wants to steal from you. And as you get everything that Jesus died to give you and it's functioning and flowing, you won't be able to help yourself. You're going to just be helping everybody around you, mm-hmm. because your needs are met, and it's out of the overflow that your brimming cup overflows.
Amen.
Yeah.
So contend, friends. I mean, believe for freedom.
Yes.
Trust that Jesus won a sound victory, not for one, but for many. And care enough about the condition of your soul and thus the condition of the body of Christ to go after freedom and healing. I mean, be feisty about it. So what do you say to the person listening today who says, how do I get from here, Maria, to where I need to be?
Yeah. So like I was talking earlier, Jesus cursed the fig tree that had bad fruit, and he cursed it at the roots, and he commanded it to dry up. And so what we want to do is we want to get to those roots in our life that are actually already cursed. There's bad things that have happened, and say, Holy Spirit, show me the truth that will make me free. What's the truth that I should believe? So for me, it was, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk no longer according to the dictates of the flesh, but walk in the Spirit. I could say that out loud, but my heart didn't resonate with it because of the childhood trauma that I had gone through. And when I was able to bring that childhood trauma into a time of prayer, I was able to go, but wait a minute, this is true and that's true and this is what God's doing and this is what, and so God just like shined light on the whole situation and helped me to forgive and let go. And I was like, oh, I get it. I got it. Like the light just came. And then I was like, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Like now I could say it like I meant it. And so it's identifying those things. And I often tell people, identify the distressing thoughts and then ask the Holy Spirit, you know, what's the truth in your word that is the opposite of this? The devil came at Jesus and tempted him with things. So whether it's a temptation or a lie, both of them are to bind you up and get you on a bad path and get you in bondage. And so you want to, I think it's a really good exercise to take out a piece of paper or a new screen on your device and create two columns. And on one side, on the left, put the things that you often think that give you distress. And then on the right, you're going to need a chart so that you have a line for each thing. On the right, say, Holy Spirit, what's right? The lie is on the left, what's right on the right. And the right thing has to be rhema word from the word of God. And what needs to happen is that when you find scriptures that answer each lie, whether it's using a concordance, you know, emailing somebody and asking them what verses are for this, or just saying, Holy Spirit, would you just tell me where it is? God will make sure you get those answers of what scripture do you need to use to fight back against the enemy. But once you get those verses, if you're struggling to believe them, then you want to get some prayer and say, Lord, why is it hard for me to believe this? What's wrong with this soil? What's wrong? And the Lord will tell you, the Holy Spirit will counsel you. He'll tell you. And if you feel like you have a hard time hearing him all by yourself, then say, Lord, who can I trust? Who do you want to send to help me hear you better so that I can get those breakthroughs that you want me to have, right? Because he wants to counsel us into freedom and into truth. And the scripture says he will never leave us or forsake us. He will never abandon us. And so as I've seen person after person hear the Lord minister to them about that situation. And so say, for example, you were mistreated as a child, to be able to have the Lord identify to you, that's why you don't think people love you, because you're damaged or because you weren't protected. And to be able to go to the Lord and be like, okay, well, Lord, you wanted me to be protected, but these people were broken. And they weren't letting you flow through them.
Good word.
And because they wouldn't let you do what you wanted, I didn't have what you wanted me to have. But now I get to let you flow through me, and I get to have you help me have what they couldn't give me. And so you literally get to set aside those old situations as they broke and they failed because Jesus wasn't allowed by the people, because he uses free will. He wasn't allowed to parent through them because they shut him out. And so the devil was allowed to do what he did. He seeks to steal, kill, and destroy. But now, as you bring anything and everything to him, he can heal it now. He got you through it somehow, and he can heal it now because you're giving him unfettered access to yourself. You're saying, Lord, open up every part of me and heal it, restore it, change my belief system. If you just say, Lord, have your way and show me and stop holding on to the past, but take his hand as your good shepherd and say, Lord, help me believe what I need to believe. Help me to see what I need to see, and agree to forgive and don't hold anything against anybody, but give them to Jesus and say, Jesus, you help them get saved. You help them get healed. I give them to you. And then would you just fill me with everything that's you so that I can in my heart be restored to a place where I believe in your goodness? Because now I have I'm not looking to somebody else expecting it to come from there. Because as children, we do. We expect it to come from the adults in our life. And even these days as adults, we might expect from our pastor or other Christians. But Jesus trusted in himself to no man, for he knew the heart of men. Everybody's going to fall short other than God. And the key is to get your heart to the place where you stop believing the lie that God falls short.
Mm-hmm.
Refuse to believe that because it's anti-biblical and it's anti-Christ. It's not God.
Mm-hmm.
Don't believe that. Believe, God, you are good because your word says you are. You died on the cross because you wanted to rescue me from all this. And so, Lord, help me to follow you into the abundant life. Help me follow you into the promised land. There were 12, only two followed, right? Of the 12 spies, only two followed. You get to decide if you want to be one that gets in or not. The devil doesn't get to decide that. It maybe has felt like it, but you still have a free will. And that's one of the biggest lies the devil has, I think, is to lie to you that you don't have a choice. Mm. But you do.
You always have a choice.
Yeah.
Yeah, this has been so great. And if it's been a while since you felt just a fresh wind of the Spirit breathing through your life, it might be time for a breakthrough. And we just pray for you that God would just bring things up and know that you're safe in His care, that He would grow your capacity to know His love so that you understand He will lead you through the valley to the other side. And Maria, I look forward to our next conversation. Thanks for all you do to bind up the brokenhearted and to help them heal and get free. Thank you for that.
Amen. Praise God.
Appreciate you so much. I pray you found some encouragement here today. We sure love doing this journey with you. Don't forget to sign up for Strong in Battle. It's going to be great. It's free, and you don't need the book to participate. It's on myfaithradio.com, and we will meet you back here next time. Thanks for listening to this conversation from Susie Larson Live. These podcasts are available because of listener support. You can become a supporter now at myfaithradio.com. And thanks for sharing this audio link to spread the good news of the gospel and to grow the impact of the show. Also, if you would, take a moment to subscribe to the podcast today at Apple Podcasts or your favorite podcast player, and never miss a show.